Looks like somebody prayed.
Give the Lord some praise in the house. Those Valentine Couples Night tickets, you can get them on church. You can register on the church center. Can you invite friends? Yes, you can. We only have about 12 to 14 couples signed up. We're trying for 25 couples. It's our goal for the year. So it's only $15. It's going to be an incredible time, too. We're doing some of the word. We'll have a simulcast word. And then we'll be praying together as couples. Like with you and your couple, you'll find a space and pray together. So it's going to be encouraging. So we encourage you. Make every effort to show up this Friday. Everybody say this Friday at 6:30. This Friday at 6:30. Amen. And so we believe in marriage. We believe it's a reflection of us as the bride, and then also the reflection of Christ. And so we honor marriage, and we want our marriages to be healthy. Can I get an amen? I don't know about you, but I want my marriage to be healthy. And so we want to be secure in that. And just so this will be a great space for you guys to meet people, but also to be encouraged in the Lord. If you have your Bible this morning, would you turn to the book of Proverbs? And we're going to be looking at chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, the book of wisdom from King Solomon. And last week, we started this whole series called Mind Shift. I don't know if you saw the pictures when you walked in the door this morning. You have them on your bulletin, by the way. The notes this morning are available on the YouVersion Bible app. Find us at Hope Community. And you can log in right there, and boom, every single thing that I'm going to say this morning is going to be right there in the notes, though I might add in a couple things, because sometimes I say some crazy stuff just out of my head. And so hopefully, prayerfully, the Holy Spirit leads that. And so this morning, last week, we talked about moving from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. We looked at David and Goliath and how he was the only one that thought about growing in the presence of the Lord. And I pray this week that you've been thinking about that. Maybe you thought, well, maybe it's, he talked about weight loss. He talked about reading the Bible through in a year. Things that we think we cannot do because we've done it such a way for such a long time. And yet the Lord says to take that mindset and shift it and start growing in God's presence in the kingdom of God. Do something you've never done before, right? Like just go skydiving. I don't know. I'm not doing that. If you feel that need though, go ahead. This morning we are looking at moving from scarcity to abundance. Over and over again in the Bible Center, Church Center app, we really want you to read the Bible this year. We're going to talk about it all year. If you quit reading the Bible, start again tomorrow morning, 365 days a year. But over and over again in the Bible recap, Tara Lee Cobble, if you listen to her devotions, she talks about a scarcity mindset. Most of the time, this would happen in the West for those that were going out of Egypt into the promised land. But I want to talk about us as believers living in a scarcity mindset versus living in an abundance mindset. Somebody say abundance. Now, a scarcity mindset is a way of thinking that focuses on what you lack. Like you never have enough money. You never have enough time. You never have enough resources. You never have enough ability. So that's a scarcity mindset. And the belief that you'll never have what you want, because this is only for somebody. This is for somebody else's way of living. It's not for me. People with a scarcity mindset may be so preoccupied with what they don't have that they can't focus on anything else. All you can worry about is the stuff that you don't have, or meeting the next bill, or looking at, I need to pay the electricity bill, and so I have this mindset because I don't have the things that I think I need, and we live in a scarcity mindset. Some of you, it's money. You feel like you don't have enough money. You never have enough. Some of us, it's time. You feel like you don't have enough time. You don't have enough. 24 hours in a day is not enough. Some of you, it's emotional support. You feel like you don't have enough people in your life emotionally supporting you, and you live in this scarcity mindset. Some of us, it's food. You feel like I don't have enough food. So I'll take as much as I can when I see all of it around me so that I can grab everything rather than thinking that God is an abundant God. Some of you, if you're single in the room, we do this in our dating. We will date the less than. we'll date the least of. Because we think that there's no one else that will like us for who we are, so we will make that person the one, and really that person is ruining our life, and we can't see it because we think, I can't get out of this relationship because there's nobody else. And let me tell you this morning, that is a scarcity mindset. Somebody say scarcity. Now, 97% of Americans, that's us in the room, spend, and we're going to talk a lot about time and a lot about money, but if it's you dating, if it's you emotional support, we'll get there. But 97% of Americans spend no time on money management on any given day. That's scarcity. Because you are thinking just for the moment. I've got to pay a bill. Well, I got to pay my taxes, or some of you can't wait to get back your taxes. They're both in the room. You live in this mindset, and you think, well, if I don't think about my finances, they won't think about me. If I don't think about that bill collector coming for me for my bills, then that person's not going to think about me. But I want to tell you, that bill collector is still thinking about you, even if you're not thinking about them. Look at the next one. 8 out of 10 Americans are stressed out because of money concerns. Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. Money concerns, like, I think about money. I'm stressed because I don't have enough of it. I don't know where the next bill is going to get paid. I don't know how I'm going to make it to the next month. Listen to the next quote. 58% of Americans feel that finances control their lives. Money. This is what we think. We live in a scarcity mindset. We live in one of the most abundant nations of the world, and yet we live in a scarcity mindset because we blow all of our money on things, and then all of a sudden we're trying to get to a place where we can be free from this scarcity mindset, and we can't because we haven't lived in abundance. Somebody say abundance. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel message. I am not going to preach to you this morning that money cometh. I am not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you that if you give a dollar, God's going to give you a dollar. If you give $1,000, God's going to give you $1,000. I do not see that biblically in the Word of God. And I want to honor this morning the Word of God. I want to make sure that we are living out of scarcity and into God's abundance, but we're doing that with a biblical, somebody say biblical, a biblical mindset, which is different than what the world says. So in a poverty or a scarcity mindset, we'll buy things. We'll get the thing in the moment. We'll get the repeatedly the cheap thing because that's a cheap thing, not getting the thing that will maybe cost a little bit more. People live in scarcity, not because they always make bad decisions. People remain in scarcity because of their inability to make good decisions. Somebody say good decisions. Now, Proverbs chapter 6. If you need help in this area of your life, I would always suggest Dave Ramsey, financial resource. Look up his stuff. He has podcasts. He has areas that can help you with your finances. We're going to spend most of our time this morning on finances. Why? Because most of us are concerned about our finances. And the Bible talks about finances. And the Bible talks about money. And the Bible talks about how to steward our money, not in scarcity, but in abundance. Now, I like the word abundant. I like the word abundance in my money, in my finances, but I have to be frugal and do what God has said. So Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verse 6. When I was young, my dad, we went camping a lot. Anybody goes camping? We went camping all the time. We had a camper, and so we would take these long trips. My dad worked offshore. We wouldn't see him for weeks at a time, and then all of a sudden, my dad would come in, and we had inherited a camper from my grandmother and grandfather in Ohio. It was a little pop-up kind of camper. We put it on the back of my dad's old beat-up blue, I think it was a GMC truck. He had a truck, and so we would put it on the back of there, and we would roll. We would go to Ohio. My dad's from Ohio. We went to the Smoky Mountains one time, and I loved it. And we would spend like a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks because he had a lot of time off when he was off. So we were in the middle of nowheres in our camper, and we are the kind of family that we're always going to church. Like, if we're in another country, we're in church. Like, in my family, my mom and dad were the same way. So we would always look for this country little church in the middle of nowhere. everywhere. And wherever we were, there was no church available. We were probably in the middle of the mountains, in the middle of like some place that had like no electricity, you know, in my family. And so we're sitting there, and my dad says, we're going to have camper church. And I was like, oh, how exciting. Camper church. And so my dad says, we're all going to take out our Bible. And so we all take out our Bibles. And he opens up the Bible, and he says, you know, I've been thinking a lot. And when my dad says something, we're all just like, yes, sir. You know, that I don't know if I have that kind of dad. And so I sit there, and he says, you know, I've been thinking about Proverbs 6, verse 6. I had no idea what Proverbs 6, verse 6 meant. It wasn't like John 3:16. So I'm sitting there, and he says, you know, I've been thinking about the ant. If you know my dad, he's sort of like, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of words unless he's acting really crazy. And so he sits there, and we're in the middle of camper church, and he says, go to the ant, you sluggard. And he just says the word sluggard so slow and methodical. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm a teenager, and I'm like, who's an ant? What's a sluggard? And so he said, consider its ways and be wise. And he closes the Bible, because my dad's not like a prolific Bible teacher. And so he just closes the Bible, and he says, and we're done. So I was excited. I was like, camper church is done. Hallelujah. Let's go hike another trail, you know, or whatever. But you know that sermon, Proverbs 6 and verse 6 has stuck with me all the days of my life. I can remember where we were. I can remember my dad. I can remember the Bible. I even memorized the verse so that I would have a glued memory to what this verse is saying. So I want you to look this morning at Proverbs 6 and verse 6. It says, go to the ant. Somebody say ant. Oh, sluggard. Somebody say sluggard. Now, before we move on, I'm coming right back, I promise, to Proverbs 6, 6. We got to know what a sluggard is, and we have to know what an ant is. Is that okay this morning? So what is a sluggard? I don't use the word sluggard. It's not someone who like slugs the baseball out into the, you know, then hits a home run. We're not talking about that. And today's, one of the Bible commentators, Ray Ortland, he describes a sluggard in this way. He said, think of the way syrup oozes out slowly out of a bottle. You know when you get those hot pancakes and you want to put syrup on your pancakes? He said, that's a sluggard. It comes out slow, especially when the syrup is cold. That's a sluggard. It's sluggish. It's slow. It's hesitant. It's never active. It's never decisive. It's never forthright. And if you look it up in the thesaurus, which I sort of did, modern day synonyms of a sluggard is this, a bum. A clock watcher. You know what I'm talking about? When you go on the side of the street and they're repairing the road, or they're repairing, my parents live in Berg, the Berg Bridge, and they've been doing the Berg Bridge for like 5 years now. And you ever saw like the men on the side of the road? I'm not picking on men, I'm sure there's women too. And one person is working and everybody else is watching the person that's working. And then they sort of flip that out, that's a sluggard. You know what I'm talking about? That's somebody who just looks and they're just a clock watcher, they're a bum. I'm just gonna say that word. A person looking at the person that's working, a couch potato. A deadbeat. This is a thesaurus. I'm not saying this, but the thesaurus is. It's a good for nothing, a goof off, an idler, a laggard, a layabout, a lazy bones. I like that word a lot. A lint picker. I don't know. A lint picker. Somebody picks lint out of their pockets. A loafer, a lollygagger, a lotus eater. I don't know what that means. A lounger, a moocher. A shirker, a slackard, and I love this one, a sloth. Some of y'all have watched that, right? And the sloth comes in. I forget which movie it's in, but it takes them so long to say a word. It's super funny. That's what a sluggard is. A sluggard lives in scarcity. Why? Not because there's not abundance. It's because they are a sluggard. Slow, bum, clock watcher, looking at somebody else work. They are living in a scarcity mindset because of their behavior. Now that's hard. So we have to change our behavior if we want to live in abundance. Now Proverbs use this word sluggard, 14 times. And it's never good when King Solomon writes this. I want to show you just a couple of verses of sluggard. Proverbs 19 and verse 24, it says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and he will not even bring it back to his mouth. I mean, nobody laughed. So that's super funny. Like, you put your hand in the dish to eat food and you're so lazy, you don't even bring it back to your mouth to get the food. That's what a sluggard is. And that's the word of God. Proverbs 19 and verse 24. Look at the next verse. It says in Proverbs 20 and verse 4, a sluggard does not plow in season. So at harvest time, he looks, but he finds nothing. And he's surprised. I can't believe there's nothing. But then nothing was not there during harvest. You just didn't take time to harvest, so you have no abundance because you are a sluggard. So Proverbs paints this picture of a man or a woman who doesn't start things, who doesn't finish things, who doesn't try hard things. They don't take care of basic things. They're a nuisance to others. They find themselves perpetually in trouble, and they live in scarcity of their own making. Now, there is a difference of when there are times of famine. For example, my mama, she grew up in Smithridge down the bayou. She lived during the Great Depression. She told us stories during the Great Depression because of nothing of her own doing that they had absolutely no food. In fact, when she was in third or fourth grade, she only knew French. She had to get out of school. Her father made her cancel school. They said, you have to quit going to school and you have to go and work the fields. And they would work the fields to sell enough to get beans and rice to eat. And she said every Sunday, if they were lucky, there would be a chicken running around in the yard, and they would take that chicken. They had eight siblings and a mom and a dad, and they would divide that one chicken between the family, and that was called Sunday lunch, if they were lucky. She lived in a mindset, you know, these people that have went through something hard or difficult. That's not because of their doing. That is because it happened to the community at large. There was a famine. There was the big bank disasters. And so she lived in a mindset of that was the way that it was going to be for the rest of her life, until she started to think outside, there is some abundance. There are times when there are famine. There are times, even in our lives, where there we don't have the things that we need. I'm going to tell you some in our personal lives in a little bit. Sluggardness is not that. Sluggardness is there is a harvest, there is an abundance, and you're not doing something about it. So you slept in for a couple of minutes and now you're late to work. Oh, well, it happens. Or you get distracted, like, you know, by cat videos online, and then you're scrolling through cat videos on YouTube, and over again, you see, no harm, right? No harm. I can't believe I just wasted 3 hours watching crazy cat videos on YouTube. But it's a little bit of sluggardness that creeps in on all of us, and what happens is we have, it's easy to take on financially. Well, you think that way. Everybody in my family didn't have much, so I'm going to be the same way. Or not a whole lot of people when my family really had a good work mindset. And so you are, or financially, you'll be, as soon as I get it, I blow it. As soon as I get the taxes that I'm getting ready to get, I'm going to go and blow it on going out to eat or doing all these things that don't really add to the abundance of my future. Somebody say future. Scarcity mindset is you do the least and you never think about the future. You're a taker and not a giver. Number two, you never account for how you spend your time. You never look at your time. The Bible says in Psalms, consider your days. You don't have many of them. Your time just passes. You have no intentionality, no future, no goals, no thinking of what I intake now will be who I am in the future. And so the Proverbs is telling us to consider, and even in our dating, you'll date somebody who's not a believer. You'll settle for God who God has less for you. And so what is this sluggard supposed to do? How do you get to abundance? Somebody say abundance. Well, Proverbs is a good book that tells you not just what's wrong with you, it gives you advice on how to make it right. And the first thing Proverbs says to do is go to the ant, ye sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. So this morning, we're going to look at the ant, which sounds a little bit crazy. But if we want to move from scarcity to abundance and we want to be wise, and Proverbs is sitting here saying, go to the ant, ye sluggard, consider its ways and get wise, so will we go back and look at the ant. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 6 in verse 6. It says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Now we know what an ant is. and we know what a sluggard is. Consider her ways and be wise. This was a Jewish way of pronouncing the ant. The ant was a feminine noun. We don't have that in America, but in Spanish, we have feminine and plural, feminine and masculine nouns. So that makes sense in the context. So it's not like it's a girl ant by any means. It just says, go to the ant, ye sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. So we're looking at this ant, entrepreneurial, thinking about, okay, it's the middle of the summer, and I'm gathering my food when there is harvest, because why? Winter is coming. There's a mindset. I'm not just living for the moment, I'm living for the future. Look at verse 9. It says, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? So clearly that sleep is meant for us and it's good for us, but we're not to lie in our sleep. We're not just to stay there and say, oh, well, I'm going to keep on doing what I've been doing. I'm going to go that same way. I'm going to keep on being a clock watcher. I'm going to keep on being a lint picker. No, it says in verse 9, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want will come upon you like an armed man. So we see this idea. You ever like started sleeping and you weren't really, you just needed a nap, but then you just sleep forever. And then you wake up the next morning and you're more tired than you were the morning before. Why? Because a little folding of your hands and a little bit of putting your hands to rest, and you sort of get in a mood. I got that way for COVID. Like COVID, all of a sudden, it was wonderful the first week. I sat there, and like we were on our couches, and I had not rested for so long. So I was like, Lord, this is the best thing ever. By second week, I'm starting to get antsy. I'm like, I have to do something. So I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord, but I know there's something. Why? Because I could felt myself dipping down. I could feel myself a little bit of slumber, a little bit of folding my hands. And so the Lord has called us to live not in scarcity, but in abundance. In Proverbs 24, in verse 30 through 34, let's listen to this. He says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by a vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. And so the ground was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. Now there was someone that lived there, but the ground looked like it had not been worked. And then in verse 32, he says, I saw it and I considered it. I looked and I received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. So again, we see not only is this mentioned in Proverbs 6, this is also mentioned later on in the book of Proverbs. In fact, the last two verses are identical. It's saying you've got to consider when you walk by somebody's field and nothing's been done there. You have to consider the ant, look at its ways, and be wise. Somebody say wise. Now, we got to look at the ant. So this morning, we're getting ready to go to ant school just for a minute. Just so if you allow me to go to ant school. I've never been, but we'll go there together. Notice number one, the ant is internally motivated. Internally motivated. If you're taking notes and you want to move from scarcity to abundance, you're going to have to ask the Lord to help you to be internally motivated. Some of us, I think, are natural to that. Some of us, we need to ask the Lord to help us, to give us the power of the Holy Spirit, that we won't just sit there and say, well, this is the way it's going to be. No, I'm moving from scarcity and I'm moving to abundance, and I need to be internally motivated. Verse 7 says, the ant doesn't have a chief officer or a ruler. There's no boss, nobody cracking the whip. The ant has self-initiative. They're a self-starter. This week we had someone come in, he attends church here and he also works offshore. So he was off, and Monday morning he comes into the sanctuary and he says, Miss Terry, he said, can I just go and, he plays back home, he's from the Caribbean. He says, can I play the piano? And I was like, yeah. So we turn on the speakers, and so we had the speakers on, and he just turns on the piano and the room is full of this beautiful music. And for the next 2 to 3 hours, I'm not joking, 2 to 3 hours we're working here, and he just plays the keys methodically. He's internally motivated. And so he just starts playing like these scales, and he starts playing like these rhythms and these different things that are going on. And I'm like, wow, here's someone who gets it, right? They're like an ant. They know they have a gift, and so they practice the gift that God has given them. Why? Because they don't want to live in scarcity. They want to live in abundance with your money, yes, with your time, yes, but with your gifting. Some of you have giftings that God has given to you, and he says, quit living in scarcity, right? Start living in abundance. So if you cook, become a better cook. If you clean, become a better cleaner. If you work hard, become a harder worker. Why? Because the Lord God has given these things to us, and he holds it to our account, and he says, consider the ants and become wise. Get motivated. Turn to your neighbor and say, get motivated. If you want to have a mind shift, you have to get motivated. So if you need a job, go get a job. If you need to work more hours at the job, ask your boss for more hours. If the boss doesn't give you more hours, then turn to somebody else and say, I need a job that will work me 40 hours a week. Some of us need to do that. Some of you are stay-at-home moms, or you're in a place where I don't even need to. Fine. But we need to get motivated. Like, get up out of bed, be internally motivated, and say, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? Because I am not going to fold my hands, and I'm not going to go back and take another nap, because I know that leads to my destruction. Number two in ant school. So number one, ants are internally motivated. Number two, ants work a lot harder. You ever saw a picnic? I got a picture of this. I don't know if this is necessarily true, but I think we have a picture of a picnic. You ever saw these ants at a picnic? I don't know if it's true, but ants serious. They hold, I don't even know the numbers, and I know it's crazy, the amount that they can lift above their heads. But we see these pictures. Ants can work hard. There will be no ant pile in your yard, and then you come back that afternoon and boom, 10 of them in your yard somewhere. They all got together, and now they're just working for the ant piling business. And so we see that ants are not only motivated internally, they are hard workers. I tell my students and young people, I tell my kids, I say, you know what? You don't have to be much anything. You just got to be a hard worker nowadays. You just got to show up to the job, be a little bit early, and impress your boss, and you're going somewhere. Why? Because you work hard. You have to work hard. Verse 8 says that they prepare her bread in summer. You know what it is in the summer? It's hot in the summer. You ever been out in the summer? But here's the ant preparing its bread. You know who works the hardest in the summer? The ant does. They work. Why? Because they know that though there'll be a time of harvest, there is also a winter coming. So you have to be internally motivated. Ants work a lot harder. And number three, everybody say number three. The ants think about their future and are disciplined. That's the difference between an ant and a sluggard. A sluggard's not thinking about its future, it's thinking about the moment. So it's easy for me to think about the moment and go out and spend a lot of money at a nice meal because I don't feel like cooking. However, if I'm thinking about the future, I know that that meal for my family of five, whatever used to cost me, is now doubled because of inflation. And so I'm sitting there, and it would be easy for me to go out and eat and blow $100 or $200. But instead, I go back home and everybody gets spaghetti with ground meat. Hallelujah. We save the money. So we're looking at the future, and I'm disciplined because I know that that money does not need to go out to eat. That money needs to help me to pay my electricity bill, which also doubled in the month of January because of snow. Hallelujah. And so I'm looking at the things that are future, and I'm disciplining myself. I'm looking at myself and saying, okay, I know what I want. I would love to go and have this pedicure. I'm a woman. So, you know, those things are nice, but I'm just going to let, you know, my kids, my little girl, she loves doing that. So because it's free. It's free. And I'm looking at that, and an ant thinks about their future and their discipline. They're looking at the reason they prepare bread in the summer. It's because they need to gather their food in the harvest, but they know that the fall harvest is the busiest time of year. So if they're going to have the energy to work, they need food, because food gives you energy to work, and they know that the winter is coming. The ant is future focused. Somebody say future focused. So if you need a car, You can't blab it and grab it. You can't. I don't know who told you that, but it's not in the scriptures. Here's what you do. Instead, you start saying, okay, I need to prepare for the future. And right now, I might be riding my bike. That's okay. I might be walking. That's okay. But I'm preparing for a future. So when I get that job, I start saving up, knowing that I need a vehicle to get me to a better job. And so I start disciplining myself. I start disciplining my finances. I start not thinking with scarcity. I start thinking with abundance. And then I ask the Lord, how can you help me in my future? So I want to give you an example from our lives, and then we'll close out with point number four. Ted and I, when we got married, not a lot of people know all of our story, but we just want to tell you just a little bit of what happened to us. When I was young, my parents made me be an aunt. My dad did not just preach about an aunt. He told me, you're going to be one. You can come. And so he told me, Tara, you can be an aunt. And I said, sweet. I don't know what that means. Be a hard worker. My parents made us save almost all of our money from birth until I got married. And so I just remember I was a farm girl. I actually spent a lot of time on the farm. We had some cows. They were called steers, and we would sell those animals. And we were in 4-H, and we had chickens, and we would sell the chickens, and we had rabbits, we would sell the rabbits, and all these things. And every time we would make money, we weren't going to get something. All my friends had like the cool Jabot jeans. I grew up in the 90s. You don't know what that is. And so only the people my age are like, yeah. And so we had all those jeans. And I didn't. We didn't have anything nice. My mom made my clothes. That's fun when you go to school and your mom makes your clothes and everybody else is wearing Jabot jeans. And I remember just saving. So I had this moment where my mom's like, you tithe, you save. You don't spend, not my mama. And so we just sort of had this lump sum of money. And I was faithful, and Ted, whenever he was working, he worked at North American Shipbuilding, and so he was faithful to save for his retirement. So he was saving retirement, and I'm saving like this lump sum of money. And right before we got married, we had bought this house, our nonprofit Hope Extreme. And so we lived, there was a house on Roselawn, and that's where we started the church. And so I decided I'm going to live there because it's free. And so I lived there. We had interns that lived there. Amber lived there for a little bit. And so we just lived there. And I was just saving money. I was a teacher. I was a youth pastor a little bit that actually paid the money. So I was just saving. And so when we got married, all of a sudden it was like Ted's finances came into my finances. And I realized that my husband was a little bit in debt, like a lot in debt. And so I was like, ooh, I had no debt. I was free of debt. And I was living in abundance. I wasn't spending my money. I was just saving there. So we started attacking Ted's debt. Like we started looking at the things that he owed, and we started paying off. He had a drum set, a mechanical drum set, so we paid it off before we got married. And we started paying off, like, at some sofas, we paid that off. When we got married, the day of our wedding, no lie, we go to a contractor's house to buy a house. We were not the people that were superstitious. We knew the Lord had already blessed our marriage. We saw each other that morning. We walk into his office, and we said, we're going to build a house with the money that I had saved over these years and years and years and years. As soon as we got married, we started attacking. Ted had his truck. He had his truck left. Lots of money that we owed in his truck. So we started attacking that money too. We said, okay, we're going to pay off that debt. He was living in a little bachelor pad, a little small house out in Bayou Blue. And so we said, so about 3 months into the marriage, I said, what if we sell the house and we take that money and just let that settle? So we sold the house, and we lived at the old building at Hope Extreme in a bedroom that you could fit his queen bed in and a big TV. That's all I remember. And for a year and a half in our marriage, the first year and a half, we lived there. Saving money. Just saying, okay, Lord, we don't know what you have for us, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the ant, ye sluggard. We're going to consider its ways and be wise. And so we're saving money, and we go into this new house that we had built, and we're like, Lord, hallelujah, thank you for blessing us with this new house. We were able to put all of my lump sum of money on the house, and about 6 months into that, the Lord, I think, speaks to us, and he says, I want you to sell the house. Lovely. And so we have no faith. We said, Lord, we don't think it's you. Here's what we told the Lord. We said, we give you 1 month, God. I don't know why. We give you 1 month. We're going to put a for sale sign out in the yard. And here's what we're going to do. In 1 month, if no one comes to buy the house, we're going to say, clearly, this was not of God. And we're going to go back to living in abundance. And so we put the sign out. And y'all, day 31, we had picked up the sign. We had put it back in our garage. And a man knocks on our door and says, I have a cash offer for your house. I said, Lord. He said, I want you to move to the east side. Okay. So we take that money and we, God said to do it. So we were able to pay for our house on the east side with cash. Like we just had cash. And we were like, we're just going to fix it up. And Lord, whatever you want. We're just living in this mindset of we're not thinking just about now. We're thinking about our future. And we didn't even know what God was going to do, but we're just trying to save. And so here we are thinking about this. And so we're living in the East Houma and we start fixing up this house. Like we put on a new thing. We have all this stuff, and Ted has a great job, and my job is like, as far as financially, and so, but we're doing good, but we're saving. We're not just thinking about the moment, and on October 10th, 2015, we wake up that morning, and there are three things that happened to us. That morning, Ted walks into the Old Hope Extreme building, and he says, Tara, I just lost my job. No clue. He had no clue. He had worked for days. He was building boats. They were doing these icebreaker ships. And he said, we had no clue. So I was a little bit discouraged. In the afternoon, our adoption agency called us and they said, we no longer can adopt children from the Philippines. Our license has been revoked. That night, I have a picture. That night, someone about 10 o'clock in the evening, they called us. So Ted lost his job. We lost our agency for the Philippines with our kids. And they called us and they said, Tara, there is a car in your building. And I was like, no way. Like I thought she was exaggerating. Ted and I show up at about 10 o'clock in the evening and there are police everywhere. And this is a crazy part of the story. There was a police chase with some students that we knew. And they ran through our building. And there was a car right in the middle of that. And the police did whatever in the world they do, and they had all the tape off. And about midnight at night, the police said, so we'll see you later. And Ted and I are sitting there, like the worst of the worst. We're like scared. This is like terrible. And so we're looking at the hole, and Ted says, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what God has for us. And so he said, okay, well, I got some wood at the house. He's a carpenter. And so he got some wood and we put up wood. And then as we are looking at the hole and we're looking at our adoption agency and we're looking at the fact that Ted no longer has a job, God called Ted to be a full-time pastor in the middle of it all. And here's what we were able to do, because we had not lived in scarcity. We had lived for the future. I didn't get super stressed out. I knew what our savings looked like. I knew that we had a mindset, Lord, we want to do your will. We want to do your work. But we also know if Ted's a full-time pastor, that means there is no salary for quite a while. But he felt called to help build this building with my dad. And so they just started to attack this building. And we were living in the abundance of God. But we were frugal. All the vacations, they quit. Any kind of going out to eat, if we want a date night, it was going to definitely be a supper that I had cooked. And so we started living in this mindset. Okay, Lord, I don't want to be like a crazy. I want to be a hard worker. I want to be motivated. God, I want to be disciplined with my money. And so we're sitting there and over again, God proves his faithfulness. And we were collecting money so that we could go get our kids, but ended up working out. And so we're like, Lord, how will you provide, even though we're trying our hardest, God, just to be with a scarcity, like not in a scarcity mindset, God, you are abundant, but we want to be like an ant. We want to be disciplined in our finances, or maybe for you in your time or in your emotional support. God, we need to have this mindset. So we started thinking about our future and we want to live in abundance. See, this will benefit you long term. So when the storms come, you're able to make it through. Our storm was October 10th, 2015. And the Lord provided. I want to say that. The last point, point number four, as we're closing, ants provide for themselves and their colony. We never quit tithing. We never quit giving. Lord, Ted lost his job. What I have is yours, 10%. See, there's an intentionality. That's biblical, where you start looking at your mindset and say, okay, God, this is a way. And so we started just saying, God, whatever you want. God, whatever you want, it's yours. We were living in just generosity, which sounds backwards, but it's exactly like the kingdom of God. Abundance comes when we begin to think about others, that we notice the kingdom of God financially. When you notice the kingdom of God with your time, when you notice the kingdom of God with your resources and with your relationships, and you start to live in generous abundance. So the end of the story, we don't know how we're going to pay for this adoption that God had called us to. The Lord had called us to tithe and give out of a giving, but we needed some funding. We knew that. And we knew that God had called Ted to start pastoring here. And I tell you this as we close. One of my friends called and she said, Tara, the Lord pressed upon my heart to do a banquet for you guys. A Valentine's banquet. She said, we feel like we're going to do that and we're going to tell everybody we know to come pick up a meal, and everything we make is going to go so that they will go towards the adoption. She said, would you like to do that? I said, absolutely. About a week later, we started finding out our kids, and we knew that we were going to get them, and we were flying out to the Philippines, and we didn't have a way to get there, like to get them. It was expensive. And someone walked into this church building and said, you know what, Tara, the Lord impressed on me, and they want me to pay for your airfare, for Ted's airfare, and for your four kids' airfare, and hotel rooms, and all of your food when you go get those kids. And they wrote a check that I've never written in my entire life. It's abundance. And I say that because as you start working out your life and you say, okay, how do I live from scarcity to abundance? Be internally motivated, work hard, and then look at your future. Be disciplined. Maybe the Lord's just speaking in a now word to you. But guys, you have to start looking at your future. You know what? We didn't stop there. We didn't just say, okay, the Lord has moved. We know that we have a future. We know we have retirement. We know that things are coming and we can't even see them. So we've tried our hardest to be very disciplined, and that sometimes we live very frugally, and like right now we're in a frugal area of our life and we're not spending like crazies. Why? Because we know that there are some things that have to happen, and we know that there is a future 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and we're not going to be able to work as hard as we are right now. And so we know that we have to save. Somebody say save. We have to save and be ready for the future that God has for us. This is how God provides. Go to the ant, consider its ways, and be wise. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? This morning, take inventory of your life. What are some ways that you can be wise financially? What are some ways that you can be wise in your time? I mean, are you using your gift? What about your gift? What are some ways that you could use your gift for the kingdom? Can I encourage you with the words and the wisdom of Proverbs? Go to the ant, ye sluggard. I take that to myself. Consider the ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, they prepare her bread in summer and she gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep and a little slumber, a little floating of hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an iron man. Lord Jesus, we hear the words. God, we have studied your word this morning. God, my heart, Lord, is that we would all work, that we would all discipline ourselves. God, that we would all be internally motivated. God, that we would not look just now, God, that we would look to our future like the ant, realizing, God, that when we work hard in the summer and we prepare for the harvest, that we also know that there will be storms and winters of our lives. There will be moments, Lord, that are unexpected. But in those moments, God, we can trust you because we have been preparing for moments like those. And God, thankful that you walk with us in every moment of our lives. Help us to be generous. God, help us to worry about kingdom principles and purposes. And God, help us to be good stewards of what you have given us. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. We love you guys. Go out there and just look at your finances and say, Lord, help me in Jesus' name to move from scarcity to abundance. Don't forget to grab some chocolate from the teenagers. The booth will be outside. And also, don't forget to buy those Valentine's Day tickets. It's this Friday. We'll see you guys at 6:30, Friday at 6:30.